today's reading in Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a relatively well-known Bible passage, relatively well-known at least, and has been a source of comfort and strength to many people for centuries. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Thinking about faith, though, does beg the question, how would you define faith? How would you, if I were to ask, define faith? What is faith? The most common response, I think, would be that faith is belief in God's existence. Faith is about belief. Belief in God's existence, belief in God's action, belief perhaps in the saving work of Christ. Belief. Belief is not mentioned in this passage from Hebrews. It might be implied, but it's not the main focus. Faith is described in this passage in two ways. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Interestingly, as well known as this passage has become for many people, those two words, assurance and conviction, the Greek words are not easy to translate into English. They're tricky, so it's not obvious what the author of Hebrews was saying here. That word that is translated assurance in other translations of the Bible is sometimes translated firm foundation, the foundation upon which hope is built, substance, the substance of things hoped for. Sometimes it means confidence or assurance, something that is given. An assurance that is given. The New English Bible translates this phrase, faith gives substance to our hopes. Faith is the action that makes our hopes real, substantive. Starting with hope, faith is what makes those hopes real. The word that's translated conviction is a little bit complicated as well. Conviction of things not seen. Conviction has two meanings in English, and the Greek word has two meanings as well. Conviction can mean certainty. Something you are sure of, a conviction is something that you are sure of. But when people talk about being convicted in the Lord, they mean being corrected, being directed in a correct way. We use conviction in English also to mean something that corrects a wrong. A conviction is something that corrects a wrong. And when people talk about being convicted, they're using it in that sense. So faith being the conviction of things not seen can mean both of those things as well. It can mean a certainty that the unseen is real. Or it can also be affirming the power of that which is unseen to correct us, to correct those things that are seen in us. It's complicated. And having taken this simple phrase and muddied the waters, what I want to do now is simplify them again, I hope, but from a different perspective. A better way to think about faith, rather than belief, rather than as a body of belief, a better way to think about faith is trust. Offering trust. Faith is a trust that God's promises are real and that they are being made manifest in the world around us. Trust. Trust in God's promises. Trust that what God offers is true and will continue to be made real. Trust. The interesting thing about trust is it is always a choice. To trust is a choice. When we think about faith as belief, we talk about it as something which we have or don't have or wish we had more of. But if we think about faith as trust, it is a choice, it is an opportunity that is available to all of us, all of the time. Faith is the choice to trust that God's promises are real and will be fulfilled. We choose to trust every day of our lives in all sorts of things. We may do it without thinking, but we choose to trust people and things every day of our lives. We could not live without trust. The opportunity to choose to trust that God's promises are true, real, and will be fulfilled is an opportunity that each of us has every day. Writing about this particular passage in Scripture, one commentator writes, "This verse is among the most beloved in all Scripture because it connects readers across the ages to our deep longings, our hopes. While the letter does not wrestle with the problem of human suffering per se, the letter of Hebrews, it implicitly acknowledges the threat of human despair, the threat of finding yourself in a hopeless place. For the writer, faith is the choice to trust that what humans most need, want, and hope for is real and on the way. Faith is the choice to trust that what we need, hope, and yearn for, what we have been promised by God, is real and on the way. Faith, to have faith, is to choose to hope. It is to choose to trust that God will fulfill our hopes. Now, choosing to hope, choosing to trust, is not the same thing about being perpetually cheerful or even sanguinely hopeful. Even a perpetually depressed cynic can choose to hope that God's promise is true. It isn't about personal disposition. It is about a choice to trust God. Choosing to trust that God's promise is true and is becoming real. We know what God's promise is. It's manifold. There are many aspects to God's promise. We've heard those words. They are an articulation of our hopes and our longings. God promises us a place in the kingdom, a place where God's presence and God's holiness are part of our lives. God promises that each of us is made in the image of God, each of us, and that we are valued and loved as made in God's image and fill each of us with a holy dignity. God promises that the creative power of God is ultimately greater and stronger than human apathy and destruction, powerful as those may be. Christ's love brought God's promise into the world, showing us a way in which that promise brings unity out of estrangement. Guilt is healed by forgiveness. And joy conquers despair. God's promise. Faith is choosing to hope that these promises are true and are becoming real in this world around us. Maybe not today, maybe not in our lifetime, but in the midst of this world, in the midst of human existence, these promises of God are real. The story, the Old Testament story about Abraham, illustrates this trust in God's promises, illustrates the fact that God's promises are trustworthy. Abraham has been promised a land, but even more important for him, he has been promised heirs as numerous as the stars above. He has been promised these heirs, even though he is a man as good as dead, at least in terms of his procreative powers. And those heirs are given. It's an ancient story, and you don't have to take it literally. You can, but you don't have to. It is a story meant to illustrate the experience of human beings across the centuries that God keeps God's promises, that God is trustworthy, that we can trust in the truth and reality of God's promises. This story is told to illustrate that reality that people have found true from ancient times up to today. And I want to share with you another story that makes that same point, that the modern story that makes the point that we can trust and we should trust in the promises of God. The most recent edition of the Christian Century includes a series of essays, a series of creative writing, as it turns out, on the topic of promise. This one is written by a woman who lives near Denver. And although the story is about peaches, it isn't really about peaches. It's about trusting in a promise. My neighbor Helen, the writer says, brought a large bag of peaches to my door. The tree is loaded with fruit, she said. Please take all you want. Maybe I should have told this in cherries instead of peaches. Several of the tree's branches were bending low over our fence. Helen's husband, Earl, had once told me the story about the origins of this peach tree. Earl had had an elderly friend who lived in a nursing home. Fresh fruit is a rarity in many nursing homes. And this man, I'll call him Mr. Garcia, had to settle for canned fruit. One day, while eating canned peaches, he bit into a pit. Most people would have complained. How hard is it to strain out pits when serving peaches to elderly people? But Mr. Garcia just requested an empty coffee can from the trash and asked that someone fill it with soil. He pushed his peach pit into the soil and set the can on his windowsill. Amazingly, the pit sprouted and the plant thrived. Eventually, it outgrew the can. Mr. Garcia asked Earl to take the little tree and plant it in the ground, which Earl did in his own backyard. The sprout grew into a spindly tree, and within a couple of years, it produced a few peaches. Soon after, a spring hailstorm broke the tree apart, and it died. But by then, Earl had taken pits from some of the tree's few peaches and planted them by the fence. And one of those pits sprouted into a tree, healthier and taller than the original. Growing fruit trees in Front Range, Colorado is tricky because of late frost and hail. But the daughter of Mr. Garcia's tree turned out to be a tree that sagged with sweet fruit. We all had so many peaches that even after sharing them widely and canning what we could, dozens of them fell to the ground unused. Thinking of Mr. Garcia, I took 3 bags of peaches to a nursing home so that the residents could enjoy the fruit Mr. Garcia dreamed of. Mr. Garcia did not live to see his peach pit grow into the tree that ultimately produced his harvest. But when he looked at that pit years ago, he saw the promise of fresh fruit. It didn't matter to him that the pit had already been canned and forgotten, or that he would never see where his gamble would lead. It encourages me that Mr. Garcia saw himself as one who had the power to connect the promise of a peach pit with the soil in which it could grow. His story has changed the way I see myself as I age and struggle with health issues. It has changed the way I see other people who are so often a displaced pit in need of fertile soil. It has helped me see the difference that even small acts of advocacy can make. We often struggle to keep promises. Seeing the promise in what is right in front of us can change the world. To be faithful, to be a person of faith, is to be someone who plants the seed, whether it be a peach pit, or the life of a person, or acts of love or advocacy. To be faithful is to be someone who plants the seed. Always, whether or not we think it will grow. To be faithful is to plant the seed and to trust that God will provide the growth, and by God's grace, the seed will bear fruit.